All right, we have Coach Wilson Harvey on the podcast this evening. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here, Coach Davis, and it's great to have you on board here with the Buccaneers this year, man.
Oh, that's right, man. Hey, go Bucks. Absolutely, man. This is exciting for sure. I mean, to have a guy like, to be able to work with a guy like yourself, this is awesome.
Well, I'm excited to work with you too. I've heard great things, and I know we've had some good talks here, so thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. If you don't mind, please give the listener a little background about yourself, then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So I am from your new arch rival, Lewis County.
Oh, man.
Born and raised over there 20 minutes down the road from here in Buchanan. And I played football there for Freddie Vincent. So When it comes to strength and conditioning, which we're going to talk a lot about today, man, that my philosophy comes – pretty exclusively from that coaching tree. And so, you know, for me, when we look at that, like I started high school about 180 pounds, you know, 6'1", and I finished at about 250, you know, but got a lot fat, running a 4.7, you know, and went on and played a year of ball at West Virginia Wesleyan, and then decided to stop, focus more on campus ministry and things like that. But stuck around and helped. That was back in the days of George Shell there. Of course, I know you did a podcast a while back with Tony Testa. Tony was the O-line coach.
Yeah.
I was playing nose guard against his guys.
Yeah. Sweet.
So, yeah, it was a good time. And then played there the year I was there. Anthony Leonard, you know, those guys in the weight room were just powerful influences. I mean, Anthony was coming right off a year with New England, and then Coach Testa was, you know, I mean, just doing some really good things in there. So, and then I went on, I got my master's in school counseling at WVU. And so now I worked a year in Northern Virginia, and then I came here to Buchanan where I'm one of our line coaches, work in the weight room, and, I'm our social emotional learning specialist, which is doubt my love. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. You know, Coach Eddie's a good friend of both of ours. And I think he could still lift the entire weight room at Buchanan Upshur. I really think he could just put all the weight in the bar and just bench press it. I hope he listens to this and he'll get a chuckle out of that.
You know, when I was an athlete, I think it's important every now and then to lift with your students, not all the time. But every now and then your student athletes, it's good to see, like, especially, you know, if you're keeping up with it. And I got that from Coach Vincent because he came into the weight room every now and then. It'd be just every few months. And he would come in, he'd make a point to say, listen, it's been a few months since I've done anything. He'd just start repping 315 on the bench. Just like a few months. Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what's not going on. I'm sure he's been lifting every day. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like the swolger coming in there. Goodness gracious.
I don't know. I think he could be sedentary and stay like the swolger, but
I love it, man. So, you know, talk about getting into, you know, strength and conditioning. So, like, you talked about Coach Vincent, and then talk about how, like, you've educated yourself going forward doing that. I passed the CSCS many years ago. I haven't kept up with it, but like, talk about like your education process and kind of how you go do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for me, it's more informal. So I think being a young guy, I haven't done a lot of the certs and things like that. And so that might be part of the road ahead for me. But a lot of it has been on the ground training for me. And just as I've tinkered and I've learned things as I've went. So I started with Coach Vincent, who's a disciple of the Bigger, Faster, Stronger program, and learned a lot from that. And then, you know, Dustin Koger, who's the head coach at Lewis County now and does a great job over there, added some of his touches back then when he was the defensive coordinator and weight room supervisor. And so for me, a lot of it came just from my own experience as a player, because we had, I mean, at Lewis back in that time, I graduated in 13. My senior year, I think we had 10 guys benching over 275, probably more than that, over 405 on the squat rack. And so a lot of it's just saying, listen, that works, you know, and
yeah,
how can we take that and replicate it? And then there's little fine points I added in. I said Coach Testa had, you know, a great program there at Wesleyan. And so I took some pieces of that and tweak and modify, you know, in some ways to really make sure that our athletes are getting trained and shocked in the right way. And then I think some of it too, I like to blend in. I've got this background in counseling and sort of psychology and psychoeducation. And so I think when I look at competition, I look at coaching style, I can blend some of that stuff in as well. So
that's awesome. Talk about, you said you're the social emotional coordinator at Buckhannon Upshur High School. Talk about that a little bit. That's really interesting. I've never heard of anybody that does that.
Yeah, no. So that's a lot of why I came back to this area. I love this place. I love this town. And that job, Coach Vincent and I had talked a lot about it. He was still the principal at the time when it was posted. And it's a very, it's focused on creating a trauma invested and trauma informed school system. And at our school, I'm kind of a counselor, but I'm a counselor who gets to focus a lot on mental health. And so this year there's been a lot of crisis response, right? And so we've had situations come up, and so it's dealing with anything from, you know, my boyfriend or girlfriend just broke up with me to, you know, I'm dealing with these issues around, you know, whether it be grades, or it could be all the way up to suicidality. And sadly, more often than you think. So a lot of what that'll look like, I think, as we move forward and some of those COVID effects start, they'll be with us, but they'll wear off, is that's going to be a lot of kind of proactive mental health. And so next year, I think we'll get a lot of psychotherapy type of groups off the ground, psychoeducational lessons, teaching kids about how they can control their thoughts and control their feelings, you know, those sorts of things, and things that I think can be really valuable from a football standpoint too. Yeah, the mental game is critical.
Yeah. And I would imagine the weight room could help with that too. You know, you're trying to teach them how to discipline themselves and things of that nature as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so much of what we do in the weight room, and from that standpoint, comes from this idea. I want to teach kids how to discipline themselves, but sometimes I want to teach them how to put the hammer down too. A lot of football players have this "I'm my biggest critic" mentality. And that, listen, it's great to have this idea. We talk in counseling about the critical parent and how you're of self. And so I always look inward and I'm saying, how can I get better? That's great. But a lot of times we'll find that young guys, especially, but this goes in college and pro ball too, will look at themselves and say, what am I doing wrong? Kevin Elko works with Alabama's football team. You and I have talked about Dr. Elko, and he went through the same program at WVU that I did, actually. And he talks about how guys, you know, you don't want to focus on pulling weeds and getting rid of the bad stuff. If you're fixing your lawn, you want to plant grass. And that's a big tenet of sort of how I coach both on the field and in the weight room, is it's trying to get guys to see, listen, let's do more of the right thing. And then you'll start doing less of the wrong things naturally, because it makes so much room.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing the right things, like you said, you got all the grass, so to speak, there's not much room for the weeds and that kind of stuff. So like in the weight room, I think I've experienced a couple different types of people. Like I've experienced a guy that's, you know, like the screamer, the yeller, you know, I've experienced a guy that like puts the workout on the board and like goes in the coach's office and sits down and eats Cheetos, you know? So like I've experienced your weight room and you are neither of those. So talk about like your kind of, how do you manage the weight room? Cause then in a high school that can be difficult, cause it's not like you have lifting groups, you don't have a bunch of GAs in there. So you're trying to manage kids and then also try to help them get stronger and quicker and more explosive, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So I think I should add that harkens back to my philosophy. I love Ohio State. I love the program they've got. Mickey Mariotti's got an amazing strength program up there. And I borrow some things from that. I went to camps there when Coach Meyer was the head coach. And I borrow a lot from some of their just sort of psychological principles, but one thing I don't borrow much from is the yelling kind of environment. And there's nothing wrong with that style of coaching, nothing at all. Mm-hmm. There's a place for it. I think, you know, for me, what I try to do, it's more of a great thing that I heard Scott Frost say once, Nebraska, doesn't yell at his players. He can find a way to get them to perceive mm-hmm. his mood and where he's at without using that kind of tone. You know, it can be a look, it can be this and that. And so there's times, obviously, in the weight room where you got to yell, you got to, because listen, somebody's going to get hurt if you don't get their attention right away. Mm-hmm. But most frequently, I'm looking at things, listen, how can I build these guys up? How can I reinforce them doing the right things? And so it's a very, you know, it's not the sitting back and eating Cheetos, first of all. and if you're doing that, I pray for you, and I hope that no one gets hurt.
Yeah, no doubt.
As with high school guys, listen, you're working with guys, and we got a large padre of eighth graders who are coming up to us right now, mm-hmm. and they're still learning the basics. Mm-hmm. So it's dangerous, and I've seen injuries in a college weight room, even when you're supervising mm-hmm. guys. So when you're working mm-hmm. with these young adolescents who are prone to mess around and prone to, you've got to be active, and you've got to be very kind of, you know, in not in their face, but sort of in the drills. And there's a lot mm-hmm. of what you teach going on, especially when it comes to squats and cleans and lifts like that. You know, making sure that form is done right, making sure that because again, you can sit back and some guys are going to get strong, but what you miss there is you miss guys who could become key players for you, who could become, you know, powerful guys. You know, I think about, you know, me as an athlete, I would have been a decent player if I hadn't had the guidance that I got from Coach Vincent in the weight room, but I was only a very good or better player, you know, because I had that weight program, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I know you won't believe this, but I used to bench press like 400 pounds, like back in the day when I actually was like a football player, not a nerdy looking science teacher. But you know, like you were saying, the weight room, like that develops a lot of things, you know, obviously physically, emotionally, being able to get those kids to push past what they think they can do. I would love for you to talk about, you know, some guys, I think there's different philosophies. Like some guys want to put like American Mariotti back in the Florida days. Like they were doing these ridiculous workouts. I mean, like the St. Valentine's Day massacre, all that stuff. And there's other people that are more scientific. Talk about your approach a little bit, like with your programming for your weight room.
You know, first and foremost, I mean, there is a science to it. And part of that is you mm-hmm. can't do the same thing, especially when we're training athletes, right? You can't do mm-hmm. the same thing over and over because your body's going to get used to it. Now, mm-hmm. me as an old dude who's out here at 25, almost 26 years young, you know, I'm sitting here. I know I'm not old, but I just like to say it. Older than I used to be. And, you know, I sit here and I can do heavy sets all the time. But our young guys are trying to train. They're trying to be athletes. They're trying to move. And so what mm-hmm. we try to do with them is we're looking at that general, and it's nothing too fancy or complicated, but it's phasing, right? So we'll go from, we just did maxes the other week and you were there for that. And so now mm-hmm. we've rolled back to sets of 4x10 for our core lifts. And so we're working through that, and we'll work our way back down as the summer comes along into a mm-hmm. period where we're at kind of a peak strength as we're adding in and phasing and conditioning and plyometrics by the time the summer's over and we're able to be ready to max again. I'd look at kind of a 2.5 month window in between maxes at the least. And so that's an important component of how we phase things in. I'll add this here too. I think it's really important. The weight room, and I know this sounds like a given, but I've heard some gurus talk about this idea of the weight room as a place for, more or less just to avoid injuries. And that's true. But the weight room, especially in this area and in this state, this is where you win games. You know?
Yes.
We're phasing in and we're doing these things in order to make our team bigger and faster and stronger than our opponents. There's going to be teams out there that are going to be more talented than we are, but if we're stronger than they are and we build that speed and those things, that's going to create results on the field. And it also builds leadership, which is another part. At this part of the year, we're expecting to see leaders start to emerge, and we're seeing that. So we're fortunate to, because it's kind of that trial by fire, especially when it comes to our post lift activities.
Sure. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting you said that. I was listening to a guy that's like a major D1 school. He was talking about our biggest job is to keep them injury free. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you recruited a Division 1 guy. So yes. And he's on scholarship. I totally understand that. So he already has some abilities that got him to there. So, but I think in high school, obviously you don't want to hurt him, but you need to push a little more because you're trying to develop maybe a below average athlete into an average athlete. What are your thoughts on that?
I showed up at Wesleyan and I am a clumsy guy, Coach Davis. I mean, I tell when people ask why I play football, I say it's because it was the only sport where I could fall down and take people with me. And
that's there you go.
Right. But when I showed up at Wesleyan, what helped me, in that year that I played and I got a chance, I got, several reps as a freshman at nose guard. And then I ended up starting on our kickoff team as the year went on, which was a very funny anomaly from nose guard to
play the
kickoff team. But that was because of the weight room, right? I'm a big guy, but I run a 4.7 40 at that point. And so it's a matter of I got to college and was instantly the strongest guy at that program, not because of me being naturally stronger than those guys, but because I came from a great weight program. And so if we're trying to train guys who want to play at the next level and you're not putting emphasis on the weight program, I mean, you're doing them a disservice. These guys, I'm telling you, if they came in and they lifted weights and busted their tails in the weight room in high school, I wouldn't have stood a chance. Because they would have had that same level of strength, but there are always going to be guys who come in who don't have that. And so if you can do that, you're going to put yourself ahead now, but you're going to put your players ahead later. And that's critical.
Man, Coach, that's beautiful. Coach, as we land this plane here, I would love for some wisdom for some young coaches just trying to get into the profession, into the strength coaching profession. What are some tips they can have as they start on that journey?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is when you start, make it fun. And that doesn't mean that you go in there and it's loose and relaxed all the time. Like football can be intense. The weight room needs to be intense sometimes. But on Fridays, we have fun day.
That's cool. So
we play dodgeball or we play ultimate football or we do something, we've talked about, although it's kind of complex, the variables, bringing in a PlayStation and playing Madden after we lift because Fridays are hard days to attract people. Right. So but think of how can I, cause these are high school guys, right. And we're not paying them to do this. They're not getting their college paid for because they're doing, maybe eventually they might. So
right.
That's a big one. And I would also say, make sure that your energy is infused into what you're doing. You don't want to come into the weight room and just think, man, you've got to come in. If you're a young guy, you can use that to your ability. If you're an older guy and you got wisdom, but you want to get into this, you can use that too. But come in and if you can do stuff alongside your players, do that. Like one of my favorite things. Last year when I first started here, we were running half gassers and I am not in any kind of cardiovascular shape, but we went out and I started running and I challenged our receivers. Listen, like, I'm gonna give you a challenge. And some of those guys smoked me and some of them were there, but it was a really good kind of competitive nature. And so you want your athletes to really have to, to really be able to see you're in it with them in the thick of it. And so that's a big thing. And the third thing is to make it competitive.
Yeah, no doubt.
You are building a program. You want your guys to want to win. And so I love this Coach Leonard, who I believe he's now up at IUP coaching the D-line. They have an amazing program up there. But when he was at Wesleyan, he would come into the weight room. I don't do it quite this way because, again, high school is a little different, but I take some of the principles of this. He would come in and he would take a group of what he sort of saw as, the elite guys in that weight room, the guys who were really busting it. He would take them off to the side. They would do things differently, but at the end, they would do a competition. And so what we would do in that is like he'd have us see, okay, who's going to get the most pull-ups? Who's going to get the most push-ups? Who's going to do this? And it wasn't all scientific. It was just meant to foster that kind of mentality. And I'll tell you, we do that and we try to make it a little more fun, in that sense. But guys, I loved that in college. It was fun even though it was intense. You know, I'm sitting there competing with our starting linebacker, Mike Savage. You know, I'm telling him, listen, man, you're 30 pounds lighter than me, but I'm going to get more pushups than you because that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And if he's listening to this, I hope he knows I'm still going to find a way to get more pushups than him.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome, man. Coach, that's fantastic. Coach, thank you for coming on. I know it's late. I appreciate your wisdom and I'll see you Thursday when we get rocking and rolling.
I'm excited, Coach. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you.